His family from Dallas were on vacation. A friend had loaned them a cabin in Maine, and just before their vacation was over, he decided to take his daughter for one last fishing trip on the lake. They went out 5 or 6 miles from shore and let out their fishing lines. They caught a few fish, but really didn't care. They were just enjoying the time together. They packed a picnic lunch, and after eating, the father and daughter leaned back, took a nap. It was such a peaceful day that they slept on into the afternoon. And then the man was awakened by drops of water. He noticed that a storm was coming and the water was starting to get a little rough. He didn't think that much about it, so he took his time packing everything up, gathering the lines, and pulling up anchor. The wind began blowing stronger, and the rain began falling heavier. Soon the sky was pitch black. And suddenly he found himself in the middle of a terrible storm with the winds and the waves tossing their little boat furiously. It was raining so hard that they could barely see a few feet in front of them, much less the shore. They rowed and rowed, and it was not long before he realized that he was lost. The little girl said, "Daddy, are you lost?" He looked at her and said, "No, darling, we're all right." But the father knew that the rain and wind could swamp the boat. He kept rowing. 2 Kings chapter 21, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. I would like to talk to you today about that mother, Hephzibah, and about her son who was away from God. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would help us today to honor all the mothers. Lord, you would give the moms here the desires of their heart. And today, Lord, I pray especially for those mothers who have a son or a daughter that is not serving you today. Lord, that through this message, they would have faith and hope, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One poll that was in the USA Today listed what moms with kids under 18 would like to do most for Mother's Day. Having time with the family at home, 36%. Go out to dinner, 20%. Go to a spa, 20%. Have a day off, 12%. Go shopping, 11%. And spend the day alone, only 0.3%. Now, I believe that what Christian moms would want more than anything is to have their children saved in church and serving God. And just by chance, if there's anyone here today and your mom has been praying for that to happen in your life, you couldn't give her a better Christmas or better Mother's Day gift than to get right with God and begin to serve Him. I want us to look at this mother today. She's kind of an obscure name. There's not much about her in the scriptures, and in fact, all that we really know about her is found in this text of Scripture this morning. We know a lot more about her husband, and we know about her son, but there's very little that we know about her, and so we're going to kind of read between the lines a bit. We know that she was the queen. She was the wife of King Hezekiah. We also know that she's the mother of Manasseh, who would one day become king. And even though we don't know that much about her, knowing her husband and knowing the things that take place with her son can help us become better acquainted with her. Now, when I think of her as a mother and when I think of her son, I begin to assume certain things based on the scriptures. We see that she has a son that is away from God and reaching through the experiences We are touched by this mother's heart because we can ascertain certain things about a mother who finds herself going through these things in life. First of all, let's look at her as a mother that was so glad. A mother that was so glad. These beginning days of motherhood and even the announcement that she was going to be a mother must have been a joyous time. I mean, think about the thrill of bearing a child. The thrill of bearing a son or a daughter. You know, you can kind of just imagine how it might have happened. You know, maybe she had taken the home pregnancy test and said it came out blue. What do you mean? What came out blue? We're pregnant. We're going to have a child. Or maybe they sat down to a nice candlelight dinner and she broke the news. I don't know how it happened, but I'm sure there was some excitement in the household. And these days of joy turned into weeks, and these weeks turned into months as they anticipated the birth of their child. You can relate, right? If you've had children here today, you can relate about that time when you heard the excitement that you were going to have a child, and then you began to make plans and preparations, you know, get the baby's room painted and get the crib set up and, well, all the things that you have to do to prepare yourself for parenthood. And then the day that that child is born. You know, it never ceases to amaze me the miracle that takes place at birth. It's inexplicable. And then you hold that child in your arms. And even if you've had a rough delivery, moms, you kind of forget about all that for the joy of holding that precious child in your arms. What a precious gift that God gave you. Yeah, there's going to be some sleepless nights and uncomfortable days of caring for a child, but you realize that it's worth it as God has blessed you and rewarded you with a child. So how thrilled she must have been. How glad and proud she was that God had allowed her to have a son. And then the task of rearing a son, that's really when the work begins, isn't it? Sometimes the birth is the easy part, but it's those next 18 years or so can be challenging. And when you think of a godly king like Hezekiah was, we can assume that his wife was of the same quality and character, that she herself was a godly woman, and there's nothing in the scriptures to suggest otherwise. In fact, her name eventually became a symbolic name for Zion. Really interesting. We read in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, Bah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." Now, and I don't know for sure, but maybe this passage seems to suggest that she had been, felt like she had been forsaken by God, that she had been barren, was unable to have a child for a while. But God uses her as an example to the nation of Israel. And he said, "I'm not going to forsake you anymore. I have taken delight in you." And so I get the picture that she's a godly woman. And no doubt then, she would have taught her child about God. Rehearsed the stories of their great past, how God had delivered their nation from the land of Egypt, how he brought them out with a strong and mighty arm, how God demonstrated his power time and time again, how he opened up the Red Sea for them and let them pass on dry ground. I can just picture her with a child on her lap, maybe singing praise choruses, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Well, and talking about the Ten Commandments and rehearsing those. She would have been acquainted with God's command given in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So time and time again, this mother would have taught her children about the things of God. From the moment they got up in the morning until they laid their head on the pillow, he would have heard the teachings of God and the commandments of God. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and on and on. So I think it's safe to say the mother was glad and enjoying motherhood. She brought this child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But in time, we see a mother that was glad became a mother who was so grieved. One day, something tragic happened. Hezekiah, her husband, had died. Now she's left to raise this 12-year-old son without a father. She's left to raise him by herself. And as tough as that was, there were days of even more grieving that laid ahead for her. Because in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 1, we read Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. We also read that he would ultimately reign 55 years in Jerusalem. But not all of that reign was going to be a time of seeking God. Let's look at a moment at what happens here. First of all, he departs from the Lord as a teenager. We read, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name, Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. After the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So he's only 12 years old when he ascends to the throne. But it appeared that in those years following that, in his teenage years, he began to drift away from God. He began to turn away from all that he had been taught in his childhood and his godly upbringing. And the Bible says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. See, what happened was, I believe that Manasseh began following the wrong crowd. Because it says that he went after the abominations of the heathen. So here's a boy who was brought up in a Christian home. He'd been carried to church since he was a few days old. He'd been taught right from wrong. He'd been taught from the scriptures. He'd been taught the ways of God. He'd been taught the word of God. But as a teenager, he began to follow the wrong crowd and departed from the God of Israel. Do you know it almost always begins with following the wrong crowd? Young people, teenagers, the way of rebellion begins here. It begins with following the wrong crowd and picking the wrong friends and following after them. And I can only imagine how it must have grieved the heart of his mother as she watched her son drift away from God. I have no doubt that she went through some times of where she was sleep deprived as she prayed and worried about her son, worried about the direction that his life was going. Then we also see not only his departure from the Lord as a teen, but his defiance of God as an adult. If his departure from the Lord during his teen years had been tough on his mother, imagine how his adult years crushed her. Because Manasseh went from bad to worse. Over time, Manasseh abandoned the God of his childhood. We read in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He went against everything that he had been taught. His godly father had torn down the altars of these false gods, but Manasseh repaired them and began to worship the God, these false gods. He'd forsaken the one true and the living God. He even went so far as to turn the holy and sacred temple into a place of pagan worship. The God of Israel was totally abandoned in his life. He not only abandoned God, but he abhorred God. In 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 6, it says, and he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. We would say today that he got involved in black magic. And what is so disheartening here is that his behavior was done to incite and to provoke the Lord's anger. It was like everything he was doing, he was throwing it in the face of God. Again, let me remind you that here is a son that was brought up in a Christian home. He had been taught right from wrong, but he departed from God as a teenager, and as an adult, he became defiant against God. One mother said she was worried about her teenage daughter and son's failing eyesight. She said her daughter couldn't find anything to wear in a closet full of clothes, and her son couldn't find anything to eat in a refrigerator full of food. Boy, if that's all you've got for problems, that's pretty good. I am sure that there are many mothers who wish that that's all they had to worry about. And maybe you're here today, and your mother and your heart is broken because you have a wayward son or daughter. If I've heard it once, I've heard it a dozen times. Pastor, would you please pray for my son? Please pray for my daughter. They're away from God. They're no longer attending church. They're out of church. And you know, I can't even talk to them about the Lord anymore. I have no doubt that Hephzibah grieved as she saw her child drift away from God and ultimately become defiant of God. But that is not the end of the story. Manasseh was humbled before God. Here's a mother that was glad, grieved, and now she becomes grateful. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 11 through 13. It says, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Here's a young boy, a teenager, who begins to depart from his faith. Here's a young boy who grows into an adult. He becomes defiant against God. But the day came when God humbled him. There came an hour when he cried out to God for mercy. This son who had taken wickedness to a new level in Israel, the son who could go as low as you could possibly go, the son who boldly rejected God and refused God, came to a place where he got on his knees and says in verse 13, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Listen to me, moms. If a wicked, evil, sin-loving, God-hating son like Manasseh could come back to God, then there is hope for your son or your daughter. There is hope for every wayward child turned into an adult. As a parent, your heart may be grieving over how they left God out of their life, but there is hope. Manasseh was hooked by God. What you really need to begin to pray is you pray that God will humble that son or that daughter. You know, it's pride ultimately that keeps people in rebellion against God. You pray that that pride would be broken and that they would be humbled before God. Manasseh was not only humbled, though, he was also hooked. I want to show you something interesting. There's an interesting statement that is made in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 11. We read that Manasseh was taken among the thorns. Among the thorns. Sometimes our children have to get into a place where life is filled with thorns and briars and thistles. But interestingly, that same word, thorns, is translated in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 28 as hook. Manasseh was taken captive by the Assyrians, bound with chains, and they inserted a hook in his nose. And they would drag him around and lead him around by this hook that was in his nose. But I want you to know that not only did the Assyrians have a hook in Manasseh's nose, more importantly, so did the Lord. So did the God that he had defied. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 11, it says that it was the Lord that had brought up Manasseh, the captains of the host of the king of Assyria. Behind it all was the work of God bringing Manasseh unto himself. And we might look at it and say, oh, the Assyrians did that. No, behind this all was God, because God was going to restore him and bring him back to himself. I can't help but wonder, did God put that hook in Manasseh in response to his mother's prayers? I believe it too. As she probably cried herself to sleep night after night after a wayward son, God put that hook in him in answer to her prayers. And afterwards, Manasseh would restore what had been lost. He removed the evil things he had implemented and implanted and led others to worship God. How grateful this mother must have been to see her son restored to God and to serve God and actually lead others in worship to God, the God that he had dishonored for so many years. And I want to encourage you today, if you have a wayward son, wayward daughter, begin to pray and ask God to humble them. Begin to pray and ask God that God would put a hook in them, that he would pull them out of the thorns of life, and that he would restore that son or daughter to himself. Well, here's this father and this little girl out fishing, and it begins to rain, and he can't see very far in front of him. The father can't. The daughter says, Daddy, are we lost? We'll be okay, honey. We'll be okay. And he was worried, though. He's afraid that the boat is going to capsize, and so he just begins to row and row and row some more. In a few minutes, the little girl cried out, Daddy, Daddy, I see a light. The dad steered the boat toward that light as hard as he could row. At last, the keel of the boat grated on the shore. The light he had seen had been from his own cabin. He had gathered his daughter into his arms and ran straight into the house. The mother, standing in the doorway, had fear written all over her face. And she said, Oh, Fred, I was so worried about you. Before the father had a chance to answer, the little girl said, Mommy, you didn't have to worry about us. We saw your light. Moms, you are the light in that home. You just continue to let your light
shine. And even if you have a wayward son or a wayward daughter, someday they will see the light of home. And just like the prodigal son, be restored to the father. Just like Manasseh, be restored to his mother. The light of a godly mother has brought many a loved one home. Many a son or a daughter has been humbled and hooked by God because of the prayers of a godly mother. Moms, parents, don't give up hope. If God could save Manasseh, he could save your child. God can bring the wayward home. Could I have your heads bowed? You are here today, you're a wayward son or wayward daughter. I'd encourage you to humble yourself, because I can guarantee you that if you do not, God will. God will. God will answer the prayers of your parents for you. Do yourself a favor. Give your mom the best present you could give her. Follow the light home. Follow the light home. Humble yourself before God and find restoration in a God who loves you so much that he will not let you go. And a mom who loves you so much that she will never stop praying for you. If you're here, moms, dads, and you have a wayward son or a daughter, there's not a lot you can do but pray. But we find God moving heaven and earth to answer prayers. We see God humbling a son. We see God hooking a son. Ask God to do that for your son or daughter. God, would you humble them? Would you put a hook in them? Lead them back to you. Bring them back to you. Father, we thank you for this story today in your word, this true account of a godly mother and a wayward son, Manasseh. Thank you for restoring him and using him to bring revival back to the nation of Israel. Lord, I pray for wayward sons and daughters today. Lord, that you would put the hook in them, bring them home, bring them to you, restore them. But Lord, if I could even be so bold today to ask that you would use them to lead others in worship of you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.